I'd encourage you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you will, this morning, please. If you'd like to follow along during the reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup and proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This scripture is often referred to when we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. And rightfully so, because Paul was reiterating to the church at Corinth the purpose of them coming together on the first day of the week was to worship God. It was to worship God and to remember him. And he devotes, the book of Corinthians devotes about three chapters concerning worship and about the assembling of together and the fact that we ought to worship in spirit and truth, that we must worship in a decent and orderly fashion, and that we ought to do it so that all may be edified, and that when we sing, our singing ought to be to God from the heart, and that when we pray, it ought to be in a way that it's devoted to the Father and through the Son, giving thanks to the Son, and to offer up to him our thanks for the blessings he bestowed upon us, and that when we partake of the bread, that we look back to the death that Christ had on the cross, the cruel cross, and the fruit of the vine, look back to the blood that he shed for our sins and what it means to us. And then the memorial, the remembrance of Jesus and all that he did for us. And so the church of Corinth received instructions on how to worship God and the elements of worship and the importance of it. And as Paul emphasized here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in the verses we just read, he places emphasis on remembering a certain thing, and that is the death of Jesus. And he pointed out that Jesus instituted this back when they were still under the law of Moses, when they partook of the Passover with his apostles on the night of the partaking of the Passover. He instructed them that in the kingdom, I'm going to drink this anew with you, and this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And he says to do this in remembrance of me. So what we do on the first day of the week as far as the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves and to concentrate on what God has done for us through his Son and what his Son did, and think about the suffering, the death, and the sacrifice he made for us, a memorial. And so as we think about the greatest memorial that ever has been and ever will be is the one that we observe on the first day of the week. When we think about Jesus and the sacrifice he made and review the suffering in our mind and humble ourselves down and examine ourselves to see, you know, am I serving God because of what Christ did for me? Am I being a servant of God as I should be? And so we can always do better. So it's good to give an examination of ourselves that we're in the right frame of mind, that we're devoting our life and trying our best to serve God in the best way we can according to his will. None of us are perfect, we'll never be perfect, but we ought to examine our lives by the word of God daily and see how we stand, and then wherein we may be failing, or if we're transgressing and going beyond the law of God, that's failure to not heed the word of God, to go beyond. The failure to obey it is to fall short. And so we do that from time to time, and we need to examine ourselves, and we need to have our minds set on then the cross and the suffering of Jesus as we do on the first day of the week. So that's the memorial that we have every first day of the week. We have various holidays in our nation that bring about memorials for different things or a celebration of different things. And in essence, some of the major holidays in the United States really reflect a memorial, a remembering of something. For instance, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in November, it's a reflection and a memorial of those early settlers who came on this land, on this continent, and started this, we're going to start this nation, those early pilgrims, and their thanksgiving to God. So it's a remembrance of that to remind us that we need to be thankful for God's blessings and for our freedom and for who we are and for what we have. July 4th is another, it's a memorial, really. It's a memorial to in memory and refresh our minds and to help us have a red letter day to concentrate and think about, well, this is freedom. This is freedom in the realm of men, in the realm of mankind, in that those men signed the Declaration of Independence that we could be independent from a pressuring government, so that we could be independent, so that we could walk about freely and worship God without fear of government and without fear of being persecuted by a government that's not respectful to God. And so another memorial there. And then we have other things. The birthdays we have, just our birthday. Well, we have a birthday, sure, that's the day we're born. But sometimes people have a little party, or they get together, they cut a cake, or they wish a happy birthday to someone. And really, a birthday then, when we mark it down and we keep up with it, what is it? It's a memorial, it's a remembrance of the fact that we were born, of the day we were born. And so we have reminders, we have memorials that go about different things in different ways in our life. But this most important memorial that we just read about is the one we observe on the first day of the week. And that's the one we want to concentrate on this morning for a few minutes, about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What we need to remember about Jesus is talked about in the Bible. And there are many things, and we can't even scratch the surface of the things we need to remember about him. But some of the things in the New Testament that we are to remember about him, I want to mention these in the next 15 or 20 minutes this morning. Remember that Jesus Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. He is the one that God sent to go between him and man to be able to be the mediator of a new and better covenant, so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. And so he's the mediator of the New Testament. He's the mediator of a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6 and 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And so these verses emphasize the fact that we need to remember that Jesus is our mediator, and the only mediator we have between us and God is Jesus, the Son of God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. And also we need to remember and always bear in mind that Jesus is the head and the Savior of the body, the church. There is not a man on this earth that can be the head of the church. There are those that claim to be head of some religious bodies. There are some who claim to be the head of a church. There are some to be the claim to be the head of the church, as they call it. But it's a church made up of men and men's institutions and men's doctrines and men's creeds. And so it's established by men, and they put a man in charge. He's the head. But we are to remember that Jesus Christ is the head and Savior of the body and the church, which is that which God instituted through his Son. So it's not a church or some church or one of many. It is the church that God foreordained in his mind. And his Son came and bought the church with his blood. And so the church belongs to Christ. It is the church of Christ. Those that are baptized into Christ and bought by his blood are added to his body. That is the body of Christ, his church, the church, by the Lord himself. They're not voted in as a candidate of baptism. They're not put in by the assignment of men. They can't voluntarily join it. But when people by faith hear the word of God and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, confess that, repent of sins, and are baptized, and understanding why they're doing it, the blood of Christ cleanses us from sin, and then we are added to the church. So the memorial every day ought to be to us is that we are a part of the church, the body of Christ. And there is only one body. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There's one body. There's one calling. There's one Lord and Father of all. And so we need to remember who Jesus is and always bear that in mind and keep that in our memory. Let's look, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at that verse this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Ephesians 5, verse 23. Paul says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." And there, verse 24, "Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so that the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So he is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. He is the Savior of the church. Go on over and flip through Philippians and go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. There we read, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the affliction of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." And so we need to have a remembrance daily, and especially on the first day of the week when we come together, that we're a part of the body, and Christ is the mediator of the body in the New Testament, and he is the head and Savior of the body. We also need to bear in mind every day that Jesus is risen. He was raised from the dead. The grave could not hold him. And so God proved by the power that this is my Son in raising him from the dead. He was witnessed by over 500 at one time, by hundreds of people before he went back into heaven after several weeks. And so he has risen from the grave, and he's now in heaven at God's right hand. Look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6, if you will. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 6. It may take me a couple of minutes to find these verses because I think I can't turn as fast as I used to could through these pages that are getting torn and worn. And verse 6, "He is now here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Then Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. We go over a little bit further in the Old Testament, and we see that in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Again, concerning Christ. Now this is the main point of the things we're saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So we need to remember that Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, the head and Savior of the body of the church, and he's risen, and he is in heaven at God's right hand. And we need to remember that we can go there if we by faith obey him. We'll hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter the joy of the Lord." He's going to prepare a place for us. And when he comes, he's going to take the church and turn it over to God. Jesus Christ, then, is Lord of lords and King of kings. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. He's not just a Lord. He's not just a king. He's not just one of many kings, but he is the king. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings because he is the Son of God. He came to this earth and fully obeyed the Father's will. And so he is established as that which was to be honored, as Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus Christ then is able to save us. Look, if you will, if you go back to Hebrews, if you hadn't turned from there yet, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Very important fact that I always need to remember, that Jesus is the one through whom I am saved. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he is always lives to make intercession for them." What is Jesus, the Savior? What is he able to do? Able to save to the uttermost. In other words, he can save anyone at any time, in any given place, when they by faith come in obedience to him and are baptized. He can save anyone that's in any condition if they'll repent of that condition, come out of it, turn from it, and come to him and leave that condition behind. He saves them from those sins. They are forgiven. So he saves to the uttermost. He can save everyone. He gave his life a ransom for all. But not only the uttermost in the fact that he can save everyone and anyone, but he saves anyone in this universe, on this earth. There's no one anywhere that cannot be saved if they come to him. He's able to save. And he is the only one that's able to save, because God provided that salvation through him. God allowed it. God provided it. And Jesus made it possible when he shed his blood that he's able to save us. Well, we need to remember that Jesus Christ is precious. Not only precious, but he is the most precious of all things, because the fact that he shed his precious blood for our sins. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. 1 Peter 2 and verse 7. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. And so they stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But, verse 9, concerning those who are baptized in the blood of Christ, to him, to us, he is precious. Look at the next verse. Those who are saved by Christ. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Why is Jesus precious? Because through him, we have a mediator that can put us in the right relationship with God the Father. Through him, he is precious because he died for our sins and his blood takes away our sins. He is precious to us because of the fact that we are purified and we are built up in him. Look at what he does for us. He is precious to us because he's placed us in the family of God, in the family of Christ. We are in the church. We're part of the saved. So he is precious to us. We need to remember also that Jesus Christ is our comfort and our consolation. Everyone needs comfort. Everyone needs to be consoled from time to time. But the most terrifying thing that can happen is when we engage in sin, and sin engulfs us, and it creates all kind of problems for us. We can find comfort in knowing that in Christ, when we come to him and are baptized, that our sins are washed away. That load is lifted off our shoulders. Christ has taken our sins away. So we find comfort and consolation in him, not only in the forgiveness of our sins in baptism, but we have comfort and consolation in him, knowing that as we move along in life, as we serve God, that we have Jesus, who is our mediator, and we can go to God in prayer, and we can pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can find comfort in talking to the Father through his Son and praying in his name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love. Well, there is consolation in Christ, and there is comfort of love, because Jesus paid the ultimate price. The Father paid the ultimate price in giving his Son, and their love was bestowed upon us, so we can be comforted in knowing that we have a Father that loves us. We have a Son, our Savior, who loves us and who gave the ultimate sacrifice for us. Jesus Christ, then, we need to remember that he's our example. He's not just our example, he is the perfect example. He left the perfect example. I'm sure you've had many people over the years that have been a good example to you. It may have been your parents. It may have been an older brother or sister. It may have been a neighbor or another relative. It may have been a co-worker. It may have been a business associate. It may have been someone just in social life that's been a good example to you. Well, Jesus is our example for good. Our example of what life's all about and how we're to deal with life and the issues of life and the temptation. He is our example, leaving us a perfect example that what? That we should follow His steps. Why? Because in Him there was found no guile. He did no sin. When He reviled not again. He's the perfect example. Matthew chapter 4, when He is tempted in every point, as we can be tempted in, He resisted the devil and did not sin. He kept the law perfectly while He was here. When He reviled not again. When He was beaten, He didn't get up and curse those people. When He was a throne of crowns was placed on Him, He didn't curse those people. When He fell beneath the load of the cross, He did not curse those people. When He was betrayed by His own apostle, He did not curse Judas. When He was denied three times by one of His main apostles, one of them, the ones that He had been with Him by His side the whole time, when He was betrayed three times by Peter, He did not curse Peter. He had a forgiving nature, even on the cross. Father, forgive them. Forgive them. What an example. If I could even have just enough of a part of His example in my life, I could be a forgiving person. I could be a loving person. I could be a compassionate person. I could be an understanding person. And I could be a brave person to stand up for the truth and against error and whatever trials may come my way, because Jesus did all that. He is our example. Jesus Christ, we need to remember and think as a memorial in our mind that we have an advocate who intercedes for us. He is our propitiation. He is our reconciliation for sin. He was the sacrifice that was worthy. He was the go-between us and God, the only go-between, the only sacrifice that was worthy to be offered up for us, and we have an advocate in Jesus who intercedes for us. Look at 1 John chapter 2, and let's read just a few verses, if you will. Maybe you were still in Peter, and you don't have very far to turn in your Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 John chapter 2. I'll get it right. Tongue twister. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which ye have looked upon, and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare of you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, and that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that you may be full. I read verse 1. Let me go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation or reconciler, as some versions put it. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. So John wrote to Christians about who Jesus is, what He had done, what we can do through Him, and then he talked about the fact that we have an advocate with the Father who intercedes for us. Let us remember that every day and be thankful for what Jesus is. Well, Jesus is also our example and continual remorse as we keep the faith. As we keep the faith. Every day. Doesn't matter if it's the Lord's Day. Doesn't matter if it's the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I need to bear in mind who Jesus is. Yes, tomorrow on our calendars in the United States is Memorial Day. To remember soldiers who paid the ultimate price for what? for our freedom. But every day, we need to bear in mind and observe the greatest memorial that's ever been. And that is of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all these things we talked about this morning, and who is all these things we discussed this morning. And if he's our true example, and we're truly following him, he will be a continual memorial for us. We will remember him daily. We will pray to God through him daily, maybe numerous times. And what will that do? It'll help us to keep the faith. Let's read Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29 to conclude our lesson this morning. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Therefore there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And you are Christ, and if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let us never forget who we are, who God is, and who Jesus is. And especially on the first day of the week we come together, let's have our minds and our hearts right so we can reflect that great sacrifice that was paid on the cross for our sins, and then daily remember all the things that we should about Jesus so we can remember how we ought to act in our lives also. If you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, perhaps you would like to be baptized into Christ. If you believe that he's the Son of God and when to confess that in front of your sins, you can be baptized this morning and you'll be forgiven. If you're here this morning and maybe you have need of the prayer of the brethren, if there's something public in your life you need to correct, then if we can help you with that, please come while Peter leads us in the invitation song.
Jesus, the Lord.